Imagine being the subject of an experiment without your consent or knowledge. You and your family are secretly watched and recorded all hours of the day. The omnivore trials, as they are known, was based around this very style of operation. Learn today about the family unwittingly at the center of the study and who was behind this incredible trial.
Missing, hidden, the podcast about bad things.
Welcome, 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 and to a new episode of Killing, Missing, Hidden. That's right, your favorite podcast about all the bad things in this world. And I'm your old buddy Brad, who's bringing you the bad things, using my skills as a criminal defense attorney to kind of help you understand what's shaking in these stories. We've got some business to attend to before we get to the story. We have to welcome a new member of the KMH Plus tribe, the lovely, the masculine, the person that every woman wants to be with and every guy wants to befriend, the one and only Manor. Thank you, Manor. I don't have a ChatGPT poem for you, but that doesn't mean we love you any less. If you ever need a place to stay, I will be happy to force one of my kids to sleep in the front yard and you can have their bed. Much love, buddy. So, as a warning before we start this episode, I try to approach most cases with the respect they deserve. This one, admittedly, I get a little flippant. I make some jokes. But the reason why I feel like it's okay here is no one dies. There's no murder. And the husband just, as we say in the South, bless his little heart, he just constantly makes bad decisions. It's like watching a horror movie, a B-grade horror movie from the 80s. Where you know the protagonist is going to walk into the room where the killer's hiding in every scene. So be prepared for a little bit more sass from Brad this week than you're probably used to. But beyond that, let's jump into this one because it's a very bizarre story. So to understand these omnivore trials, we really need to understand the unwilling and unwitting subjects, Brittany and James Campbell. They were two high school sweethearts who kind of went their separate ways after graduation, only to have the fates bring them back together years later. The pair really couldn't be more different in certain ways, but those differences kind of made them fit together like two puzzle pieces. James was a Navy man. He described himself as quiet, analytical, reserved, and someone who liked to meticulously plan things out. He was a single dad who had custody of his two boys. Meanwhile, Brittany was outgoing and spontaneous. She was a stereotypical blonde who could walk into any bar and get every guy's attention. But she had never met the right guy to settle down with. All she really wanted from life was to be a mom, to have a family. She runs into James again, and he's kind of offering her on a plate everything that she wanted. And so the two get married. They actually get married at the famous Little Vegas Chapel in Las Vegas in 2018. They were married by an Elvis impersonator, guys, okay? That kind of summed up how non-traditional the couple could be at times. Now, I see a lot of me and my wife in this couple. No, we did not get married in the back of a pink Cadillac in Vegas. But, you know, I'm the quiet, nerdy one. She's the outgoing beauty. You know, I come home on Friday nights just wanting to pass out from work, only to find that we've got a house full of friends and sometimes strangers. That's just life for me, and it sounds like that was just kind of life for them. But that's as far as I want to go comparing myself to James, all right? So anyway, this lovely couple, they get married, and soon thereafter, James gets new orders forcing them to move to Hawaii. What a shame, right? I know this probably could be like the worst base to serve at. I don't know the first thing about military life, but I just see the island paradise and think, you lucky little dude. He's got a new wife, a stepmom for his kids, and now he gets to live in Hawaii. You know, how could things be going better for him? They bought a house, nothing fancy, just a modest two-story house, but it was in a very quiet and very safe neighborhood, which was very important to James and Brittany. And, you know, since he couldn't just leave work whenever something came up, he wanted to have that security of knowing that he's done everything he could to protect his family from the dangers of the outside world. Now, they were fortunate enough in that Brittany didn't have to work. She was a stay-at-home mom, and that provided another sense of security for James. So there would always be an adult in the house. The kids would never have to be alone. So kind of overall, you know, life was awesome. And then in June of 2019, weird things start happening. Like any good, wholesome American family, when they moved to Hawaii, they unpacked 98% of their stuff, meaning they still had like, you know, a dozen boxes or some number like that in their garage, unopened, not going anywhere, that will probably just be moved to the next house James gets sent to, right? So Brittany comes home one day and she notices that the boxes were knocked over, and not just like knocked over, but kind of like someone or something had gone through them. Items had been pulled from the boxes and were placed in what seemed to be random piles. Now, this happened on a day that James was off duty. So Brittany, you know, calls James into the garage so he can inspect the odd site. And he doesn't really have any answers. They talk to the kids about it. Neither one of them, you know what did it, have anything to say. So James kind of chalks it up to one of their pets acting weird. And in fairness, pets are wont to do weird things from time to time. But this didn't satisfy Brittany. This incident actually stuck with her pretty hard. She really found the scene to be unnatural. She didn't believe their animals had knocked over the boxes and then started sorting the items into little piles. But, you know, frustratingly, James just dismissed the event and couldn't understand why Brittany was so fixated on it. A few days later, another odd event occurs. Brittany's home alone, and she hears the front door slam shut. So, of course, her first thought is, oh, James must be home with the kids earlier than I expected. So she calls out to him, but she doesn't get a reply. And so she goes to kind of the front window and looks out and doesn't see James' car in the driveway. So she gets freaked out and searches the entire house, finds no one. But naturally, this kind of knocked her anxiety up a notch. And James just didn't help. You know, I like to try to take the husband's side when I can, because I'm a husband. I know how often we get the short end of the stick because we do stupid things. But he kind of thought Brittany was acting paranoid, and he was kind of foolish enough to open his mouth and say those words. I mean, let's take a moment of silence for our poor idiotic brother here. I mean, he seemed like a smart fella, but, and like I said, all men are stupid to a certain degree. But why would you not just keep your mouth shut? Why tell somebody, I think you're paranoid? Why tell somebody that you share a bed with, I think you're paranoid? So, shockingly, they get into a huge fight, which no doubt ended with James apologizing over and over again for being a dummy. Then that very night, because of course karma is just going to rub this in James' face, Brittany is awoken by sounds of doors being opened and closed downstairs. Now, Brittany was still majorly ticked off at James. So she said, you know what? I'll handle this because I'm the paranoid one, apparently. So she marches downstairs, trying to figure out what was the source of this commotion, and she finds, again, nothing. Now, just to clarify, she didn't get awoken by the sound of a door closing. It was multiple sounds of interior doors opening and closing. And Brittany found nothing. Nothing. Brittany returns to the bedroom, wakes up James. He, too, still annoyed about the fight earlier. James, brother, you just got to cut your losses there. And now she's waking him up over these alleged noises that he isn't hearing. He tries calming Brittany down, probably by saying, honey, you're just crazy, knowing James. And eventually gets her back to sleep. And, you know, in fairness, Brittany admits she always has anxiety issues at night. And she would kind of overblow things a little bit. I don't get the sense that she was the sort that, you know, heard something fall off the kitchen table and rushed for the panic room. You know, I mean, obviously not. We just have the story of her going downstairs to face the intruder because she's mad at her husband, right? But she does have those issues. So she tries her best to calm down. And just as she's falling asleep, she hears another noise. And again, James doesn't hear it. So she starts freaking out at this point. You know, this is weird. This is like living in a haunted house. And James is just dismissing everything. So again, Brittany goes down by herself to check and panics because she found some evidence. The front door, the main door to the house, is sitting wide open. It wasn't that way when she went down earlier that night. In fact, before they went to bed, they always checked the doors to make sure they're locked. And again, we're going to pause for a moment and just pray for James. Because he's about to do something else that is one of those moments in a marriage that you never really recover from. Brittany comes running upstairs, heart racing. She's probably sweating a little. Or if you're a debutante, she's glistening. And she tells James what she saw. And his response is, well, didn't you tell me you locked the front door? Oh, James, you poor, foolish, stupid man. What difference does that make? Who cares who was supposed to lock? The freaking door's left wide open at night. That is not a normal event, okay? Be worried, be scared, be frightened. Unless you think Brittany is hallucinating this, why aren't you bothered that the primary entrance to your house is open for all the world? At this moment, God or whatever higher force you believe in intervened to save James' life. There is another noise downstairs, and finally, James admits he heard it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The noise specifically was that of the back glass sliding door being open. Now, admittedly, James froze, turned a whiter shade of pale, and then raced downstairs. He found the back door open, but there's no one in the house, and he didn't see anyone in their backyard. And what's his response to this? Well, I guess we forgot to lock that door too. Ah! Do you see why I gave that warning at the beginning of this episode? Do you understand why? Oh, okay. All right, look, we're going to go off track here for a minute because this is the only way I know how to express my frustration so far. We're going to have a quick Bible lesson. Just bear with me. Whether you're Christian or not, you're probably familiar with the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and the parting of the waters and all that, right? Okay. personally, I've always found this one to be kind of a humorous story from like a macro level. Because if you read the entire account, here you've got Moses performing miracles. You've got the Israelites seeing God performing miracles. They're surviving against all odds. They're getting food when they shouldn't. Their clothes are lasting for decades when they should wear out after a year, right? I mean, despite all of this, when you read the account, the Israelites are always looking for a reason to complain. I mean, this would be like chaperoning the most annoying children ever created through a natural history museum where you are going to jail if any of them break something or wanders off. To highlight it to me, there's a moment when Moses kind of tells all of them, look, I got to go chew the fat with God for a bit up on this mountain. Y'all just be cool until I get back, okay? You know the rules. Just be cool. And as soon as Moses is out of sight, what do the Israelites do? They get together and say, Moses is gone. What do we do? Wait, I got an idea. Let's build a golden cow to worship. Now, this is on the heels of the whole Ten Commandments thing, where one of the rules that comes from God is don't worship idols. Don't make statues and pretend they're gods, right? And so the minute he gets on that trail to head up the mountain, they're melting down earrings to build a freaking cow. Or let's do a secular version of the point I'm trying to make. Do y'all remember the Simpsons episode where they build like this koi pond or something in their backyard and this endangered caterpillar takes up residence there? And because it's the Simpsons, the EPA gets involved and says, it's on your property. You have to protect this endangered species until it moves on its own. And the worm that was living there was called a screamapillar because it emits an ear-bustingly loud screams, both while awake and while sleeping. But the funny part is, it's considered the natural prey of every other known animal, which are attracted to its screams. The EPA tells Homer it's sexually attracted to fire, and it needs constant reassurance 24/7 or it will die, okay? So to bring it back around, James is our Israelite buddies. He's our screamapillar, right? He is actively trying to become a murder victim, and I don't think a jury in the world would have convicted Brittany at this point. Luckily, it doesn't come to that. Whatever faults Brittany may have, she apparently has the patience of a saint, or lacked any strong cutlery. One of those two. Regardless, weird stuff just keeps happening to this family. Constantly, they're hearing doors opening and closing. They would come home and find doors opening and closing, cabinets open. On more than one occasion, Brittany would wake up and find that the webcam on her computer had been turned on. Like, she had one of those external webcams, not one that's built into our laptops that we all have today. And not only had it been turned on, it had been moved from where it normally faced, which was the computer chair, to face their bed. And at this point, she starts to believe James. She starts thinking, maybe I am going crazy. Then finally, James becomes a convert after two strange events. One's not enough for this man. Two strange events. First, James is into music. He has a lot of music stuff. So he's at home alone one day and decides, you know, to play around with the piano. As he's tickling the ivories, he has this strange feeling that he's being watched. He turns around, looks out the window into his backyard, and sees a shadow figure standing there, watching them. And so James hops up and runs outside to try to confront whoever's standing there. But when he gets into his backyard, nobody is there. Ever the skeptic / idiot, James knocks this up to being, maybe it's a nosy neighbor who wanted to know what I was playing and then just decided to stop and listen. Because that makes sense. I often hop over neighbor's fences to do just that. Okay, the second incident occurred just a few days later. The family was going out to see a movie, and Brittany had a blanket that she wanted to take with her because she liked to cuddle under it. And because women cannot go to a movie theater without getting cold, right? I think that is just a scientific fact. So she can't find it. It's not where she normally leaves it. She asks the kids if they had taken it. They don't know where it is. And basically the whole family spends the next 25 minutes turning the house upside down looking for the special blanket to not be able to find it. So they just go on to the movie. She probably comes close to catching hypothermia. When they return home, what do they see but that exact same blanket sitting on the main sofa in the living room, nicely folded? This is when James said, okay, all right, I admit it, things are getting too weird. On top of this, the noises continue every night. The family's dog at times would just start barking at the wall like something was there. Everyone in the family knew something was wrong. It was just all too creepy. They couldn't shake this awful feeling that something was in the house with them. And they even entertained the idea, like I said earlier, that the house was haunted. I mean, James probably didn't, but the rest of the family considered it. So, to break the tension, which had been slowly rising and then rapidly rising in his family, he said, you know what? Time for a family vacation. Let's go out for a week and visit some family back on the mainland. Just enjoy some rest and relaxation and get away from this house. And maybe some time away would kind of wrap up this mysterious drama they were enduring. And in a way, it did, in all fairness. It did. Because you see, when the family returned, they actually came home on an earlier flight than they were scheduled to. And when they pulled into the driveway, James' bike was lying in the driveway. Now, James didn't leave his man toys laying around like that. I'm sure if it was Brittany's bike, it would have been her fault and they would have had another fight. But thankfully, this one's on James. And this put him on alert because this isn't just, you know, some bike he bought at Walmart to tool around on. This was one of his hobbies, and so it was a pretty expensive bike. They open up the garage door, and instantly the family unanimously realizes this place has been vandalized. All the boxes have been knocked over, ripped apart. It's just a horrible mess. So James reaches for the best weapon he could find, and to his credit, he found a good one, a sledgehammer. And he says, okay, I'm going to go inside the house. He tells Brittany to stay with the kids in the car and call 911. So James kind of walks up slowly to his front door, sticks his key in, unlocks it. He can hear the tumblers and all that. But when he pushes to open the door, it won't budge. I mean, it's literally like somebody's put a dresser or something in front of the door. So he pressed again, nothing. And this time he decided, all right, fine, screw this. And he just shoved into it with all his weight. And the door gave a little. But there wasn't a dresser in front of the door. There was a man inside his house holding the door closed. James goes into attack mode. He manages to wedge the door open and basically grabs this dude and drags him out into the front yard, gets him out of the house. James is shocked when he kind of comes to his senses because he notices the dude is wearing James' clothing. That's kind of the heroic part of James. Now, this is where we can kind of poop on Brittany a little bit because instead of waiting outside safely, once the man is dragged out of their house, she darts inside because she's worried about the animals. And when she gets inside, she just sees a mess. Now, the animals are fine. Don't worry about that. In fact, the guy even told James that he had been feeding the animals while they were gone. It turns out he was feeding them dried apricots, but, you know, food. Anyway, police get there, talk to the guy. He doesn't resist in any way. He actually doesn't even put up a fight with James in the front yard. And, you know, he talks to the police like this is a normal thing, just to be squatting in somebody's house like this. They end up arresting him. No resistance. They put him in the back of the patrol car, and he apparently chit-chats with them all the way to the station. They explore the house. This is the Campbells and the police. And this is the super creepy part. Like I said, the house had been trashed, but not trashed in a chaotic sort of way. It was almost an organized chaos, if that makes any sense. Pots and pans were all over the kitchen, but they had been deliberately stacked in an odd, purposeful sort of way. All of James' musical equipment had been pulled out of closets and other storage locations and were kind of placed around the living room like decor. All throughout the house, they found empty prescription bottles or blank prescription bottles with pills in them, as well as like test tubes or medical vials. And again, we're not talking one or two, but they're everywhere throughout the house, on every table, on every flat surface. I mean, apparently even going up the stairs, they had just a little decorative table there. And there was a stack of tubes there. When they get to the master bedroom, on their bed were a couple of towels with a variety of knives laid on top. And they were obviously organized in a particular fashion. It really sounds like this was like a scene that you would expect to see from some like underground surgical ward for criminals. And what's really weird to me, and what I can't figure out from all of this, and I think nobody really could, the entire house is trashed, right? We've got knives on the master bed, but the boys' room, the two boys, their two kids shared a room. It not only had not been touched, it had been cleaned. The dirty clothes had been washed and folded and put away. The sheets on the bed had been washed and put back on. It was in perfect condition. Okay, wait, actually, this is the worst part. I lied. Next to the knives, Brittany noticed that her old laptop was sitting there, one that she hadn't used for a while. And naturally, she wants to know what he's doing with the laptop. And she turns it on, and it opens to a Word document that is entitled The Omnivore Trials, a Rehabilitation for Rat-Like People. And this document is not brief. It's massive. And I looked everywhere. It's not available online, or it's not available in a place I could find online. But from those who have read it, they say it reads like a manifesto more than a scientific journal article, though it's clear that's what this invader was trying to go for. It turns out this dude had been living in the Campbell's house for months. Months. And he spent his time taking incredibly detailed notes of what they did every stinking day. I mean, we're talking about when the TV was turned on, who turned it on, what program they watched, how long they watched it, what time it was turned off, what time the kids brushed their teeth, what time everybody ate dinner, what time they woke up for breakfast. Every detail of this family's life was recorded and put into this writing. And he didn't refer to the family by name, even though he knew a lot of details about them. Like, secretly, they were trying to get pregnant again, but the Brittany apparently has some fertility issues, and he was aware of all of that. But he never refers to by James or by Brittany or the kids by the other names. He only refers to them as either the omnivores or the specimens. Apparently, this dude had snuck into their house shortly after they moved in and had been living in this crawl space above one of the bathrooms, again, for months. And James and Brittany weren't even really aware that there was a crawl space in the bathroom. So he was able to kind of get out at night and move around and get food and things like that as he needed. When they were gone during the day, he would do the same thing. And at the end of his article, he kind of puts down in writing what his end game was. He wanted to use the family to conduct medical experiments on. He wanted to do things like see if he could successfully perform a hand transplant. He had a list of, you know, he had a bucket list of things he wanted to try, but his biggest one was he wanted to attempt gender reassignment surgery on Brittany and the two kids. That's why there were knives on the bed. That's why he had all these medical vials and random medications throughout the house. This dude thought he could perform complicated surgeries and wanted to test to see if that was true on the Campbells. His goal, he claimed, was to make them the perfect people. On the laptop, there is also a video he recorded. Brittany liked to watch makeup tutorials on YouTube, as a lot of women do. She would get makeup ideas, she would test things out. And so she had her laptop sitting on her makeup table facing her computer chair, not the bed. And she would sit there and watch and then try to copy what she was being shown. So the intruder makes a video for Brittany. And it's just this weird, bizarre recording. I don't really know how to fairly describe it. He did it in the nude, which, you know, is awesome. And, you know, he talked about how the purpose of the video was to transform your entire body. It got very spiritualistic, I guess you could say, very new age-ish. And he, you know, wasn't putting on makeup. He was more drawing symbols and lines on himself. Very strange. After the arrest, James admitted he had found something very, very strange several weeks ago, but he didn't want to tell Brittany about it in case it frightened her. On his desk calendar that he kept downstairs, he was surprised to find a note he had not written. It read, quote, "Your rehabilitation starts today. Do as I did. Choose a house, clean it, set up all devices." Again, this was not in James' handwriting, also was not in Brittany's handwriting. But James rationalizes this. James, the man who describes himself as very analytical, figures that this must be from Brittany, and he assumed that Brittany wanted him to do more chores around the house. I, as y'all know, try to keep these episodes clean for kids, in case you're sitting in a car pickup line at a school or waiting for gymnastics to end. But I only know how to react to this in one way, and that's with swear words, and I apologize. God damn it, James. What the hell? Is the Campbell family just this brainwashed cult? Or is it an actual, like, human American family? Is that how y'all talk to each other? Is that how your wife speaks to you? Choose a house, clean it, set up all devices? What? If your wife wanted you to clean the house, I can guarantee you she would have just said, get off your ass and help me clean the house. She would not have left such a cryptic note, you horse's ass. Okay. I think I've got that out of my system. The intruder was arrested for a variety of crimes, the most serious being burglary, which surprised me as being a little on the soft side, considering what was written in that manifesto of his. It turns out he was also behind the vandalization of a nearby Buddhist temple. While imprisoned in 2020, he got cross with his cellmate and beat the man to death with his bare hands. So this added a nice charge of murder to his list of crimes. After this event, it was finally determined that he needed to be evaluated, and this dude was found to be mentally unfit to stand trial, so he was remanded to Hawaii State Mental Facility for treatment until such time that he could face the charges pending against him. Not surprisingly, the Campbells have moved. They sold their house. They are now living in an undisclosed location. I don't blame them. Thank God James had the sense to do that. I don't know what to say. Apparently, there is a term for this sort of behavior. You know, where you squat inside a house that other people are living in. It's called frogging. I had never heard of this. And it's somewhat common, apparently. I mean, as far as these things go, there's a thrill to it, apparently, of living inside someone's house without getting caught. And of course, it's always in an attic or a crawl space or some underused section of the house. There's actually a show on the Lifetime channel called Frogging, and they did an episode on this case. And I spent the $3 on Amazon to be able to watch it and to see the Campbells tell their story. You even get to, like, see some of that makeup tutorial video that the dude created, and it's fairly chilling. You know, I had to see what James looked like. That's why I bought it. I just had to see this dude defend his actions. And he tries. Lord knows he tries. He admits, though, I was being a little too dismissive. And Brittany is interviewed separately, and she says, I totally thought I was losing my mind. No one believed me, but I kept hearing these weird things. James admits that he was the one typically to lock the doors at night, but he still blamed Brittany when the doors were being found left opened. He claimed he interpreted that cryptic note on his calendar as a motivational note from his wife. And apparently the blanket incident didn't just cause James to take the situation more seriously. It actually caused an argument between the couple because James' reaction was, well, there's your stupid blanket. Whew. He tried to justify the whole spooky event as the kids being kids. And remember, these are James' flesh and blood, and Brittany's the one saying, no, this is not how kids act. And she was extremely relieved when it turned out she was right. James just comes across as such a doofus. I just can't believe he describes himself as analytical, then acts like such a weirdo in response to all these strange events. You know, if if I owned a company and James worked for me and I saw this episode of this show on Lifetime, I would fire him. I would absolutely fire him. Because clearly he has no sense when it comes to solving a problem. Look, he may be awesome at you give him a process and he works through it quickly, efficiently. But it seems like the moment he has to use his own common sense, we go into Wonderland. And, oh my God, I can't imagine working for a man like James. What's worse? Again, he was in the Navy when all this was going on. And he has a very prominent EMT tattoo on one of his arms. So was he in charge of saving lives while he was in the military? I mean, he's not a bad guy, okay? And I would not jump to the conclusion that someone's clearly living in our house. But why do you not see all these red flags that keep popping up every dang day? Why are you mad at your wife for getting anxious when any rational human being would be getting anxious over finding the freaking front door open or seeing a shadow person watching you play piano from the backyard? Now, here is the most amazing thing I'm going to tell you in this whole story. Brittany's still with James. They're still married. And like I said, they're interviewed separately in this show. And when you hear Brittany's side of things, you're just like, oh my God, you poor baby. You feel for her. Because she really felt like she was going crazy. But I do have to question Brittany's sense in a little bit, because when you find a strange man trying to keep you out of your house, why is your first reaction to run inside blindly to make sure your cat and dog are okay? We have animals. I love them. I would be heartbroken if somebody did something to them. Don't get me wrong. But I kind of want to wait until the police show up to make sure there's not, you know, an entire cult of people wearing James clothes inside the house before I go rushing in there to check on the animals. I would absolutely, absolutely love it if one of y'all could find this dude's manifesto and share it with me. I will send you some goodies as a thank you, and I will do a follow-up episode just to read the manifesto. I couldn't find it anywhere. One takeaway from this episode that should help some people out there: this Lifetime version of the story, it should kind of be required viewing for, well, I'm not going to use the nice term, for incels. Because, again, James is this kind of doofus of a guy, and he gets a hot blonde. So, if an idiot like James can pull it off, you can too. You don't need common sense, apparently, to get the girl. So, anyway, I don't have any other analysis on this one. It's just a steaming pile of crazy. I hope you enjoyed it, and now I've given you another fear to factor into things that could go on into your house. All right, with that, we'll get to our palate cleanser. And it's going to be a good one because it's a Chuck Norris joke. Yes. So what kind of home did Chuck Norris own? What kind of home did Chuck Norris live in? A roundhouse. Boom. Mic drop of a joke there. I cannot top that. It's beautiful. Whew, okay, so here's what I need from y'all, because I'm always asking for things. Please keep leaving us reviews and ratings. 5 stars only, because we're amazing, right? Or please leave a 5-star rating if you believe that. Also, think about joining KMH Plus. The link is in the show notes. It's only $5 a month, and it gets you a couple of extra episodes every month. More or less. It's not, you know, an unbreakable law. That's our goal. So far, we've met it, I think, most every month. Maybe one we fell short. It also gives us resources to keep the show going without me having to take food out of my kids' mouths. So that's awesome. I mean, that's a bit dramatic, but I need to pull on your heartstrings. We just released a new one that really had months going into it in the making. So hopefully y'all enjoy it. And this may be a good time to try it out. And that's kind of all I've got. I apologize for cursing, but James, I mean, you just want to slap him to see if that knocks something into place in his brain. Now, having said that, please do something nice for yourself and for someone else. Let's try to make this world a better place. Maybe we can eliminate, you know, frogging from the world and having people like James drive his wife crazy. Please know I love you all. And if you ever need anything, just write. If you have any show ideas, love to hear those too. But until we meet again, I'm going to go with Brad out.
You survived another episode of Killing, Missing, Hidden, the podcast about bad things. Join us next time for another true and thrilling story.